There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast. Thanks for joining me for another week. Sorry this episode's going out a bit later in the week than usual. It's been a crazy week. I worked full time this week and we launched the Inside Running podcast with Julian and Brad this week. So a bit of stuff to get organised for that one. So it was just a bit of a crazy week where I found I was just trying to chase my tail around the whole time. But hey, it's Sunday and last day of the week. Hopefully this gets to a few people before they go out for their Sunday morning long run. If not, I'm sure you'll find time to listen to it. This week's guest is Andy Allison. He's back. He was the very first person I ever recorded with the Tell Me Your Tales podcast earlier in the year in February. And his show got some really good feedback and I really wanted to get him back on the show. I talk to Andy most days, even though I only met him at the start of the year, and I like to think I've got a pretty good connection with him, and he's a guy it's really easy to speak to. And yeah, we got pretty deep in this conversation. He's had some life experiences, and we kind of just spoke about stress and, you know, tips for living a meaningful life and exercise and kind of community. And yeah, we kind of spoke about some books and some different other podcasts that we've been listening to and things we've learned. And yeah, it was just a nice conversation that we had on a Saturday evening, and I hope you guys enjoy listening into it. I think there's so many great things you could take from this, whether it be the resources or the books or the podcasts that we're talking about, and just little tips that you can implement in your life, especially the stuff about, you know, talking about your stress levels to other people and yeah, trying just to get some time out away from the world. Anyway guys, I hope you enjoy this chat with Andy Allison on Tell Me Your Tales. Cheers. Rightio, I'm back with Andy Allison, the very first person I interviewed on the podcast, and we meet again. How are you, mate?
Rightio, I'm great, mate. Great to be back on.
Bit shattered we're not face-to-face. It was so much better sitting at your kitchen table back in Hobart. Actually, this is your third time on, because remember we did that breaking two thing?
We did, yep. This is number three, yep.
Yeah, Skype's not as good, but and I feel you lose some of that. You can't kind of see people's facial expressions and know when to butt in, but I think we'll hopefully make it work tonight. It should be good.
I think we'll be okay, yeah.
Talk us through Saturday. What have you been doing?
Oh, Saturday was pretty cruisy, really. I woke up and wasn't really feeling like going out for the session straight away. I was just feeling a bit tired and sluggish. I had a day off yesterday, like a day off running, and I just didn't really feel super motivated. So I just got up and I was talking to you about it first thing. Do I go and do the session straight away? Do I have a coffee and a bowl of muesli? The muesli and the coffee ended up winning, so I did that and waited a couple of hours, potted around the house a bit, did some release work and some activation stuff, and then headed out for my hill session.
No regrets there? Like, did you get to breaky finish and it's sitting in your stomach and you got to give it a couple of hours thinking you could have been halfway through your session and finished early?
No, I didn't actually, because it gave me a good hour to get on the roller and the spiky ball and do some activation stuff and, you know, stuff that I should probably have been doing anyway, so that was good. And then by the time I went out, it's sort of warmed up a little bit. It's freezing here at the moment. Like, we've had a winter, bit of a winter snap. So, no, it was good. And I actually felt okay. It was really funny. I felt okay in the warm-up. I did some strides. I came back and chucked those Zoom flies on. I did some strides on the way down the hill rip, and I was feeling really good. And I thought, oh, I'm on for a good day here. And then I get down and do a hill stride up the hill that I'm doing it up. And there's just a gale just howling down the street, like a massive headwind. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to be great fun, because it's a tough session as is. You know, it's we were doing six by, it's just over 600 meters, average about 6.5 to 7%.
Yeah,
and
right.
really ramps up at the end. And but just down the bottom, the first half of it was just like a wind tunnel, and I really struggled with it, but managed to get them all out. And I'd had a bit of a tender Achilles after Wednesday long session and gym, and that's why I took the precautionary day off yesterday. But that was all good during the session, so no, it worked out okay.
Yeah. Do you do hills often on that one, or is it a bit of a favourite?
Yeah, no, it's something I was doing a fair bit before Lonnie 10 and Gold Coast, and it seemed to work serve me quite well. We only did about four of them back then, though, just a little bit more quality, sort of a little bit higher speed and a little bit more quality, and we'd do that probably every second Thursday in place of a fartlek session.
And how do you find the hills? Like, are they a favourite when you see them coming up on the training schedule, or hate them?
Oh, yeah, normally I love it.
Yeah,
normally
right.
I love it. It was just today that wind was, the wind was just so bad. And I was telling you just before we started recording that I could see the flags up on the, about three quarters of the way up on the hill on the top of the school building, and they were just pointing straight at me. So that was a bit of a, it was messing with my mind a little bit early on. So I had a couple of moments where I was swearing at the wind on the first couple of reps, and managed to get it done though.
Did you do it solo or have someone else helping you out?
Ah, solo today.
Solo.
Yeah,
tough
much
session.
Fun.
Hill solo.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I did them the week before with a local guy who's very strong, Mark Gates. He's like more like an 800 meter or track runner, but super strong. And so we did some hills up at the Domain. It's much more sheltered there, and it's not anywhere near as steep as well. But that was great. We did that with some threshold running in between the sets, so that was actually quite interesting. Whereas today was just six hill reps, just a big grind. So
Well, that's a good lead in because you're back. Like, last time listeners would have heard from you, good result at around the bridge. You got injured after that too, didn't you? And then had some.
Well, I was injured going into that.
That's right. And then we got through that, had a blinder that day, and then got back for Lonnie 10, but you were crook, and then got back for a pretty decent run at Gold Coast. And ever since Gold Coast, you missed quite a lot of time.
Yeah, I've spent July 2nd, I've probably had too many blocks of running of 4 weeks just before I went to California, and then I'm on my third week back now. So, probably seven proper weeks of running since July. Yeah, so I've had a pretty tough go of it.
How are you handling all that? Like, I guess in hindsight, that was going to get to, well, not in hindsight, in like future looking, you're going to get to New Year's Eve, and you're going to be right, like run a pretty big 10K PB and a big half marathon PB. So is that success for 2017, even though you've been injured for a big chunk of it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'll learn a lot from it. I think I've put things in place since Gold Coast that probably needed to get put in place to allow me to run. So while I've been injured for a lot of the last couple of months, I've been in a pretty good headspace because I knew it was something that I needed to do, and that was to get in the gym and do some proper dedicated strength work and working out some of these imbalances that I have in my biomechanics. So that's been a big tick, and that's why I think I've been able to come back so quickly this time, because while I'm not very fit, I'm pretty strong from being in the gym a couple of times a week and doing a lot of activation stuff, probably three or four times a week. So that was a good kick in the bum that I needed to do that. And I do that with a great little squad of, there's a real mix. There's 800 meter runners, there's 15, 3K. There's a guy training for a marathon, a 400 meter runner. So it's really good. And that's with a great trainer called Jack Lipperton, a girl from Canada. and she's amazing. So she looks after us really well.
So you go together. It's like a training session.
Yeah, we go Wednesday night together to the gym, and then she sets us another program to do normally on like the Friday or Saturday that I do at home. So I've got everything I need at home because it's all fairly basic. It's like band work and kettlebells and resistance training, that kind of stuff.
That'd be pretty good because going to the gym solo and putting the iPod in and walking amongst all the muscly men that are in there and can be quite intimidating is a bit of a world that certainly intimidates me, and one of the ones I don't really want to get into, even though I know how good it would be for me. But I imagine going with a group of runners would be good fun, socially, and a bit of banter as well.
Oh, so much banter. I think that's what it mainly is. But Jack sort of keeps us in line. Her expertise of being able to see exactly what we're doing and being able to correct anything that we're doing, even slightly incorrectly, is just so beneficial. So you know you're getting 70 minutes of quality work, whereas if you go to the gym by yourself, go to a Zap or a 24-hour gym or something like that, you get distracted. You might look at your iPod or you might just be going through the motions, whereas this is just 70 minutes of really good quality. And that's what you need when you're doing specific weight training for running. It needs to be really specific. Like, it's all about the biomechanics and the loading and all that kind of stuff. So I know Jules has had a lot of success with his trainer.
Yeah, he's a guru now. One-on-one. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And I reckon that was a big part of his success at Berlin.
Well, it kind of goes back to that Salazar stuff, doesn't it? Like, you always used to see those flow track videos of those guys doing heaps of stuff in the gym, and obviously it's working for them, maybe with a few other things as well. But it's definitely something, if you want to get the best out of yourself, you should be doing, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. But what I found was that, I mean, the biggest improvement it's done for me was fixing my neural problems I had in my back. It's plagued me since I started running pretty much a year or two in, because I took up running so late when I was about 30, and then I got these neural conditions in my back which just sent all these pains and shockwaves down my leg, and I had so many tests and steroid shots and all kinds of stuff, and they could never fix it. And that's why I ended up quitting running and bought a bike and rode a bike for 4 years, because I just couldn't get rid of it. And then I managed to sort of work around it, but now it's gone. Since I've been in the gym, it's totally gone. Like, I've got full strength through my left-hand side and through my back again. And the latest setback I've had was just while I was in California. I'd had a bit of a tight psoas tendon going before I went over there, and then a long-haul flight and just heaps of driving and a lot of walking just sort of set it off, and that's what set my a different back injury up, and that's what I've been recovering from the last month or so.
Those flights are killers, aren't they, when you're on the plane for like 14 hours or whatever, just in the seat and up three times. It's
yeah,
a shocker.
Yeah.
It's not good for you. Not good for you at all. Back to the original question, though. So Andy Allison, end of 2017, now he's done this gym work, you know, figured out this biomechanic stuff, even though it was at the cost of being injured, and still got a 10K PB and a half marathon PB. Maybe injury is a blessing in disguise a bit.
100%. Look, when I came back, when I decided to start running again, we probably touched on it when we had our first chat, when I decided to come back running, which was January or February of last year when I was living in Melbourne, when I thought I want to have another crack at it, because I felt like I had some unfinished business. So I never dreamed of being able to run what I did this year for the 10 or the half. I mean, they were dreams, but they weren't something that I was seriously considering being able to do again. So, yeah, I'd say 2017's been a success. Like, I've learned a lot. I've hit two really good goals that if I was to stop now, I reckon I could look back on that and go, yeah, I was pretty happy on where I got to in my running career. But now I know that with this getting my back right and being in the gym and learning how to overcome injuries and hopefully prevent injuries going forward, I think, yeah, I'm sort of excited about where I can go next year.
What are you thinking next year? Like, you going to get on the track over the summer and stuff? Or
Yeah, as soon as I get – I'm going to run Point to Pinnacle down here in a couple of weeks. That's the half marathon that runs from the Rest Point Casino to the top of Mount Wellington, yeah. So a bit over 1,300 metres of elevation gain. So I'll do that because it's such an iconic run for the city. And
1,300, that's insane.
Yeah, well, the mountain's 1,270 above sea level, the pinnacle. And so, yeah, you take in just over at 1,300 metres. So, yeah, it's pretty brutal. There's not too many flat parts of it. So I'm not fit. I'm not fit enough to be racing an event like that. But I'm fairly strong. Like, I'm probably go in and have a decent crack at it. And I'm hoping the benefits that I'll get from a run like that under my belt will set me up for a good track season. I want to hit the tracks as soon as I finish that and do some threes and some fives.
Have they jazzed it up and stuff as well this year, Point to Pinnacle? Like, I remember seeing their website did they launch a new website, and it looked really kind of almost hipster and a bit of a drive to kind of get people down there this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
The
website's had a big overhaul, and they've added in the Point to Pub event just opposite where a lot of Hobartians start their long run from the pipeline. Opposite that, there's a pub called the Fern Tree Tavern. And so the Point to Pub's about 10Ks from the casino, so you're pretty much climbing the whole way, but you don't get the really punishing part of turning onto Pinnacle Road, because it's pretty much the race is in the last 7.5Ks. I think it's like if it was a cycling event, it'd be an above category climb. So you climb, I think it averages about 8 or 9% for that last 7.5Ks.
Yeah, right. Who's coming? Do you know any elites? They got 2 grand prize money. I'm just on their website now.
It's good cash. Yeah, absolutely.
Good cash, 1,000 per second.
Yeah, it's real good. I think the biggest names, I think Alan Craigie from Canberra, who was second to Dylan last year, he's coming back down and he's in great shape. I follow him on Strava and he's doing some really consistent training and getting some great hills up there in Canberra. There's another guy called Stu Gibson, originally from Scotland, who's actually based down here. He's an ultra runner.
He won 6 foot track 1 year.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so he'll run it. He'll be super strong. And then we've got a whole stack of ex-Olympians and multi-sport champions down here as well. Like is Ali Foot, the rower, who's doing it. He's in good shape. He's just done Hawaii Ironman, did that in around 10 hours, so he's in really good nick. Todd Skipworth, former Olympic rower, I think he was. He's in great nick. He'll do it as well. And Alex Hunt, a really quality multi-sport guy. He'll be running as well. I think he's over in Maui at the moment doing like an Xterra World Champ. So, yeah, look, it'll be really – there's no real massive standouts like they've had in previous years, but there's a really strong field. Yeah.
Some tough guys too. Like, that's the whole really thing hard. When you're running up a mountain, isn't it? Like, you can't just be a glamorous kind of 5K, 10K track guy or road runner and expect to be able to compete against those fellas.
No, it gets pretty nasty. So, yeah, those guys will all go really well, I think, which would be – it's good for me. I mean, I'm not at that level this year, but it'll give me something to at least try to hang on to perhaps for a little while and try to just try to tough it out.
You've spoken to Julian about it. So he knows 2 grand up for grabs.
Maybe we need to delay putting this out. Yeah. Can you put this out after the 18th?
No, he'll love that. He'll eat that for breakfast. He loves the hills. He loves the hills and prize money. He'll be set.
He would love it.
I'm going to message him straight after this and be like, mate, get down there, take down all these adventure races. He's over WA doing an adventure race this weekend.
Yeah, he'll probably bring the running company van down. Yeah. Park it down there. I think that upset Kimbo a little bit because Running Edge is one of the major sponsors. But
yeah, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. that's right. That's exciting. So then you got to get on some on the track for some fives and stuff, and then
I've raced 1 5 in my life, which I did just before I moved home. So I did the Vic Country Champs. So
it's Jamie Cook that day, wasn't it? I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He and I were swapping off laps, and yeah, we had a good little race. So it was good fun.
I reckon it was the first contact I had with you, like pretty much that week. I remember like hitting you up on Instagram. Yep. And then, you hit me up, bagging me out because I didn't have a Strava, like, premium account or something. And I reckon I saw that photo of you and Jamie and then, like, started talking from there. And it was interesting because Benny sent me a message during the week saying, how well do you know Andy Allison? Like, that's all it said. And I'm just like, you know when you write a message to someone and then you're like, oh, no, I'll delete that. And then I was like, how well do I know Andy Allison? I'm like, well, I met him on the internet at the start of the year after telling kids for the last 5 years, don't meet people on the internet. And I'm like, but I've actually been in his house, and I talked to him like every single day, pretty much on Messenger or Instagram or whatever. And I'm like, no, I think I know him pretty well. He's a good guy. He's like a real good vegan athlete and knows his stuff about nutrition. And it was kind of funny how those things happen, because that was like the start of the year. It's insane what the podcast is, how many people it's brought me in touch with. Even Julian and Brad, I hardly knew those guys at the start of the year. And now we just talk shit to each other every day on this Facebook Messenger as well. It's a weird thing how well you can form relationships these days.
Yeah, Benny and I've been having some good chats this week, actually.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You guys will get on really well together.
We've got some interesting things we might be working on. Yeah.
Well, that's when I wrote.
Did
back
he tell
to
you
him.
What he did? He tell you what he's in? What he's thinking about?
Only briefly, because when I wrote back, like saying, yeah, this is what I know about Andy and good bloke and this and that, and I was just like, oh, I better actually ask why does he want to know. I was like, I wasn't sure if you were giving him a hard time on Strava or like what. I was like, is this because he's happy with him or has something happened here and he's like cracked it, and I wasn't sure what was going on, but. Yeah, I got a bit of a brief on what he was thinking, and it would probably fit that, because he's pretty much thinking about like the parlor gigs. Are you familiar with those ones? Well, he'd fill you in anyway.
Yeah, he did. Yep,
they're pretty cool. I went and watched him play one once. He was playing
on the riverboat, didn't you say? Wasn't that?
Yeah, that was the first time I'd seen him play. They had this like luxury houseboat kind of thing, which was like a floating restaurant and stuff, and that was real cool. But yeah, it's definitely something. Something that the culture of Hobart, only because I've only been there a couple of times, but when I was down there to visit you during the year, it just seems like a real good, similar vibe to Echuca, but just like 200 times better and bigger and a bit more happening, I suppose. But that vibe would definitely fit his music for sure.
Oh, look, it'd be great, yeah. If we can do what we're talking about doing, yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Talk me through that move, because you went from Melbourne to Hobart because of that kind of culture, didn't you? We were talking about during the week, you recommended that podcast to listen to about how important like culture is and surrounding yourself with the right people, and you said you found a massive difference when moving back?
Oh, yeah, huge. I mean, was that the Dan Buettner when he was on Rich Roll? Was that the one that I told you about when he was talking about culture? The guy who wrote The Blue Zone. So he was talking about how important it is to, like where you're living. He found that the happiest people live on a street with trees on it, which I've got, that you're surrounded by like-minded or similar sort of socioeconomic backgrounds to the people who live on your street. If you're near water, it's another plus. So all these really interesting things, all these things that we're all ticks here for Hobart that I didn't have in Melbourne. I lived in Northcote in Melbourne, which is a really random suburb. Like, it's got some really interesting things, but it's got a real mix of people. So there was no outlook. There were no beautiful trees, just so many different things, nowhere near the water. The lifestyle back here is just, the balance of it is just so much better.
It was interesting how he said about bike lanes and stuff as well. I listened to that same podcast, like, streets that have bike lanes and easy access for people to commute on that aren't in cars really improves their happiness as well.
Yeah, well, I've got what we've got out the front here now. We've got a bike lane. Like, my little ride to work can be as quick as 10 or 11 minutes, but I can take it and on a bike lane pretty much all the way down to the docks, where the Run the Bridge finishes, and I just scoot up a couple of streets and I'm at work, and it's all pretty much just, hardly any cars. There's a few cars on Sandy Bay Road for the first minute or two, but then I can go around the Battery Point and around the docks, and I just do it on my single speed. It's just a really chilled way of getting to work, and a nice little bit of cross training because it's pretty hilly around here as well, and it's just such a nicer start to the day rather than trying to fight traffic or get on crowded public transport and all that kind of stuff.
Hustle and bustle.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally different life down here. Yeah.
What other major differences did you notice?
You've got more time. So you're not giving up your quality time because everything's so much closer. There's the population is a lot smaller. So I find that's a really big benefit. I love being near the water. That's a real bonus for me as well. It's much easier to organise catch-ups with mates. You don't have to, in Melbourne, you used to have to plan so far ahead and you'd have to work out if you're going to meet in one suburb, just work out how long it's going to take you to get there, what sort of transport you'd have to take, whereas here, you know, most people just drive or walk or get on their bike. It's a lot easier.
It's an interesting thing, city life compared to country life, isn't it? And I reckon you've got the right mix in Hobart. Like, you've still got, you know, big stores and stuff, and you've still got, like, an athletics track that you can get to, and it's kind of like a perfect mix of still having all the things the big city has without the big city crazy hustle and bustle and time-consuming to get places.
Yeah, totally. There's heaps of great cafes and bars and restaurants, and there's just a really great feel around the city now, and we have regular cruisers that come in now, and you, like, I think, I don't know if there was one here when you were here, but you, as you can see it from my window, you can see when the cruise ship comes up the river and parks down at the docks there, and it's just, yeah, a really nice vibe. People have a little bit more time for you here as well, so, you know, you go to a shop and people are a little bit friendlier and that kind of thing. So just a really nice work-life balance, I think.
And the tourist industry is, like, blown up massive too, hasn't it? Like, Airbnbs are, like, getting shut down. Was something going on with Airbnbs down there?
Yeah, because so many...
Too many?
Too many. You're getting so many people that were in buying investment properties in Hobart especially, and just banging them straight up as Airbnbs, and it was just pricing everybody out of the market. So, you know, local families and couples weren't able to buy houses in the suburbs that they wanted to, because they were all turning into Airbnbs.
So has the government, like, taxed it and stuff now?
Yeah, I think they've changed the taxing system on it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, right. Hey, did the people you hang around change when you moved down there, or similar people just in a different location?
Did the people that I hang around with here,
yeah,
are they different?
Yeah,
before?
Different
no.
vibe?
No, look, the runners that I'm back involved with, I hung out with before I left, and I used to catch up with a number of those quite regularly in Melbourne, because we all follow the footy, and so they would come over and stay, or we'd go to the footy together. I've also met some new people down here that I didn't know before that I've become close with over just in that short time that I've been back here as well, just similar interests and philosophies, I guess, as well. So that's been really good.
Yeah, yeah, right. Let's get on to that Blue Zone stuff, because you mentioned it before, and that was one of the main reasons I wanted to have you back on, because this book was out ages ago. I'm not sure what year it was published. I could probably...
I think it was 2005 or something like that.
2005, yeah. It's been around for years, and I'd never come across it, but I'd started hearing people mentioning it in different podcasts and on different blogs, and kind of thought it was definitely one of the books that I needed to read. But pretty much the brief of it is that Dan Buettler, how do you pronounce his name?
I think it's Buettner, isn't it?
Buettner.
Yeah, Buettner, that's it, yep.
Yeah, he travelled around to pretty much the civilizations where people live the longest and, like, quality longest, not people just living to 100 and being in a wheelchair or on their deathbed since 80 kind of thing, but actually living high-quality lives for a large chunk of time, and not just kind of one or two off our whole communities where a whole lot of 100-year-olds are still contributing in a bit. And he kind of put a book together, and it's broken up into different chapters where the locations are broken up. And, yeah, it kind of opened my eyes massively. And it was one of those ones – I graduated year 12 in 2005, so it felt like ages ago. And it was one of those books that I couldn't believe I hadn't read beforehand.
Yeah, well, when you suggested it to me, I had no idea what it was about. I just when you mentioned it, I ordered it in from the library, and it took me a couple of weeks to get to it because I had a few other ones that I was working through. But, yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, and just the different zones that he talks about are just so worlds apart from each other as well, aren't they? Like, he talks about, what is it, Okinawa, that the...
In Japan, yeah.
Yeah, like south of Japan. So it's like it's almost like a little group of Hawaiian islands off... I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, I had to do a bit of Google mapping.
Off the southern coast of Japan. So beautiful, temperate climate, great for growing crops. And, yeah, they're just a really different a different way of life there. But when he talks about it, it's changing so much now. Like, there's all these centenarians that he calls them, the over hundreds, and they're all living such good lives still. And but the people who are growing up now are all going the opposite way, because the islands have been inundated with fast food restaurants and all that kind of thing. So the young guys from like 20 to 25 are all some of the most obese and sickest of all of Japan now. So it's such a contrast.
Yeah, so yeah, these 100-year-olds look like they're 50, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got all these 20-year-olds who are going to be dying early, and they're getting heart disease and cardiovascular disease, and they're all obese. And it's so interesting. Now, the town that I found the most interesting was the one that's in the United States.
Yeah, the Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, in Los Angeles, which you wouldn't consider it being a blue zone. Like, you wouldn't imagine there's a blue zone there. So, but because of their lifestyle, like the majority of Seventh-day Adventists are pretty much plant-based. Like, they eat minimal meats, I think, as well, and dairy products. They pretty much don't smoke. They hardly drink. So there's so many factors there that makes it so interesting.
What about their big one, though, like their 24-hour Sabbath? So, like, obviously pretty ingrained into the Catholic lifestyle that Sunday is a day of rest and a day of community, and they wouldn't go on any, you know, electronics or distractions or work, and really just have 24 hours just away from everything just to recharge themselves almost and then start their week again.
Yeah, so I think their Sabbath in LA was from Friday night to Saturday night.
Yeah,
from
that's right, yeah.
Dusk Friday to dusk Saturday or something like that. And where he discusses that, he talks about the connection between family and like-minded individuals and how important that is on health and happiness. And that's in all the other blue zones. They talk about one of the main reasons these centenarians are living so long is because they still have so much purpose. They often nearly always live with their family, so they look after their grandkids as part of their everyday life, and they have so much purpose in every day that they get up and they're doing something that is required of them every day. And that he's saying that is one of the most important parts of living a healthy, happy life, is being valued and having a sense of purpose. And that's why that 24-hour Sabbath that the Seventh-day Adventists have is so important as well, just to spend time, dedicated time every week to being around people that you have the same philosophies with. So it doesn't have to be religion, but, you know, spending a day, you know, like what you're doing now, like talking to people who have, you know, like-minded interests and passions, how important that is for health and happiness.
Yeah, it's a strange one though, isn't it? Because I guess that this day and age where you've got so many distractions, to have just like, this is what, actually, it's one of my favorite things about the podcast, because it's probably why I dislike the Skype ones more than the face-to-face ones. But the face-to-face interviews I've conducted, like, you're literally with someone for an hour or 90 minutes and it's just you and them and like a computer in the middle with a little audio thing going across just to show your recording still working. And, you know, in this day and age, that hardly ever happens. Like, your phone's in your pocket and vibrating, or you've got to get somewhere else, or you're thinking about what you've done this morning or what you've got to do this afternoon, and you're just not really present. So these guys, like, are nailing it, yeah, flat out.
Yeah, that was something. I think that was the biggest part that I took away from it, because so many of the other things that the Seventh-day Adventists do, I actually do anyway. So they talk about getting regular exercise.
A bit moderate, wasn't it? Like, all the exercise in all the blue zones wasn't like you're going out banging out 400-meter reps. It was like, you know, you're doing your gardening exercise, or you're doing that low intensity exercise to just be able to maintain rather than put massive stress on your body.
Yeah, or the shepherds in Sardinia, like those dudes were living, what was it? It was something crazy, like 7 to 10 years on average longer than the mainland Italian males. And, you know, because they had no stress, because their life was spent shepherding their flocks and things like that, like literally, and they would just walk for miles a day.
Yeah, they'd just knock out 5 miles a day.
Drink heavily fortified red wine full of flavonoids. So yeah, that was good. That's another conversation you and I've had.
Good for arteries. Yeah, you're trying to give me wine advice.
Yeah, poor old Brady's struggling. He sent me saying he was struggling to get the wine down, and he sent me a picture of the bottle he was having a crack at, and it was they used to just come in a bag, that style of wine that he was drinking. It's bottled now, but it used to just come in a bag in a box. So
I'm glad you told me that, because Carly and I are both in the same boat. We've both been trying to, like, we've got a few older friends and stuff who always drink red, and you kind of, I don't know, you get a bit jealous and you want to be a part of the clique a bit, and like be able to have conversations. And I think we've faked it till we've made it a couple of times and pretending we know what we're talking about. And but that one was, you know, all my wine. We've got about 10 bottles of wine just in a little rack in our kitchen, and it's all from, like, winning fun runs. Yeah. Because I've just never drank it. Like, I've got bottles that have, like, 2007 and stuff on it that I'm sure are terrible, but I'm just like, nah, keep holding on to that, Carly. We're not drinking that one yet. It's going to be worth, like, hundreds of dollars sometimes, and I bet you they're all just junk.
Probably are, yeah. So, yeah,
you've hooked me up some good recommendations there, though.
Yeah, so hopefully you get on those. That might help you get started. But
especially having two glasses a night like these guys in Sardinia.
Oh, well, yeah. Going back to those guys, so the reason the men were living longer than the women, which doesn't happen in many places anywhere in the world, and it was because they didn't have any stress. They'd be out surveying their land, and they would always take time to look over the beautiful scenery and look after their herd, and they'd walk, so they're getting good vigorous exercise every day, and they're out in the fresh air. And then they would drink, I think they would eat some of the local pecorino cheese, so they were talking about the goat's cheese, or goat's milk.
Yeah,
had so many good proteins in it for them as well, which was helping stave off cancers. And then they were drinking the nice red wine, which had extra flavonoids in it because of the topography of where it was grown. And then the poor old wives are at home trying to manage the whole household and all the finances, and they're all stressed to the max. So they're not living as long, but the men are living, you know, past 100 and still in great nick. Yeah.
And they had, like, times where they'd just be social as well and just, like, chew the fat with their mates. And it's just, we're doing so many things wrong. We're so, like, why don't I am in my life anyway, like, rushing around from one appointment to the next, whereas having time, they were having, like, most of those blue zones, they'd have 2 hours a night, almost just gossip time, especially with the, I think it was the females in Costa Rica, I reckon it was, and they just have this gossip time where the ladies will just get together and every afternoon at a certain time for 2 hours just talk trash about people in their neighbourhood and have a chat and kind of help people out who are struggling or whatever. You could go to them and ask for help, and just that de-stressing, sharing your stuff with other people, super important.
Yeah, sharing, so important, isn't it? I mean, it's a good time to be talking about that, being November, you know, especially guys, you know, need to be sharing and talking about what's going on in their lives as well. And so, like, looking at the week that you've had where you've, you know, you and I have tried to have this conversation about 4 or 5 times this week, and it just hasn't worked for one reason or another, but you've been working full-time again. Is that right? You've lost your Thursday off at the moment?
Yeah, well, we spoke about it before we went on air, and I was just saying to you, like, because usually I don't work Thursdays, which is good, but I had a meeting to just go to over in Shepparton, so it wasn't a stressful day that I was in the classroom, but it just meant I didn't have those kind of 6 or 7 hours to just do all that stuff that I just usually knock over, so it doesn't become after school kind of stuff that I'm doing at 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And I just felt like, well, probably leading into that, I went to a mate's 30th down in Geelong last weekend, and it was probably one of those ones that I was like, haven't seen this mate for a while, do I go, don't I go? Ended up, you know, making the call and going down, and kind of spent 3.5 hours driving down, and went out to the pub for a few hours and slept in a tent in his backyard and got stuff all sleep and drove home the next day. And that banged me around, because I'm just not used to kind of that kind of lifestyle, I guess, that party lifestyle. And, you know, I'm usually in bed at 9:30 every Saturday night, and I usually get 8 or 9 hours sleep a night, not sleeping on some dodgy air mattress in a tent of a backyard of a mate's place. So that was probably stitched me up leading into the week. And then because we kind of launched Inside Running, and that was kind of a bit stressful trying to get a few things like the hosting for that podcast and the Facebook page created, and just a few little dot the I, cross the T's kind of thing. And then, yeah, working full time and probably stepping back into like a pretty decent training load as well. I'll probably hit 160K this week. It was just too much. And I said to you off air before we started, like, I caught myself a couple of times where I'd just be going from one thing, and it might have just been like going from the photocopier at school back to my classroom, then I'll sit back at my desk and just catch myself like missing a breath. And I'm just like, this isn't good. Like, you're almost trying to put too much on your plate And it's good having people to talk to. Like I think probably males often we put up this kind of mask and we make everything feel like it's good, but behind closed doors you're really on your limit and you're not letting people know. So it's good to be able to talk to people and catch yourself when you're in that situation as well, and just know that you've bitten off more than you can chew and you've got to slow down sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I think generally, you know, this week notwithstanding, I think you are ticking most of those boxes where you are getting things right. Like, and you look at I've got the Blue Zones open here and they're talking about the secrets. And I think, you know, they talk about giving something back as well. Mm. And I think you do that. You know, you volunteer at Parkrun, you're doing these podcasts, you know, for not just for yourself. I mean, there's probably part of it that's for yourself.
Yeah, I enjoy
but there's
it
also,
as well,
yeah, you enjoy it as well, but you're also giving a lot to so many of us listeners as well. So that's an important part of wellness and happiness is, you know, doing something for someone else, for no financial reward or anything like that. Eating more plants, I think you're more of a plant-based diet now. I think that's probably helping you as well.
Yeah.
Did you see the crazy one about the water?
Yeah,
written
down here. It just adds years to your life. What was it? I've got
and they can
down.
Reduce the if you drank. They're saying 5 to 6 glasses of water for men, it's reducing the risk of fatal heart attack up to 70%.
Yeah, compared to those who drink considerably less. Yep, I've got.
So
that
when they did that
me.
First, they did that first massive study on them. Back, I don't know how long ago it was, but they're doing their second study on the Seventh-day Adventists now. They were talking to the government agencies saying, you know, we've just found that just by drinking 5 or 6 glasses of water, we're having this massive reduction in cardiovascular disease and heart attacks, and the government didn't want to know about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, this could be that simple.
Yeah.
You know, trying to reduce the health bill of America.
Oh,
stop
imagine,
drinking Coke and just drink more water.
Yeah. All of a sudden you've got 70% less people checking into the hospitals. That strain on the healthcare system.
But they were like, no, don't want to know about it. So they're doing their second big report, and they're hoping to get a bit more traction this time around, I think.
And that was the thing with this book. Like, they were there for years, like really digging deep. Like, this just wasn't they went in and interviewed a few guys who are 100. Like, they really went pretty detailed into their research and had like National Geographic on board, and yeah, really, it's evidence based research for sure. It's not some fad that you just watching a documentary and hope it's okay.
Oh, no, it was hugely evidence-based, and yeah, it was a massive database that they were able to draw from.
Back to all these ones though, like they're all just chilled. Like one of them was like, in the recommendations at the end, how it's like your blue zones, like they were like recommending yoga and meditation and like not doing too many things in your life and being too ambitious. I actually read have you read Percy Sarity's book, Get Fit or Be Damned?
No, I think I've read a sample of it, but I don't think I've read the whole thing.
Oh, I'll post it down here. Actually, Carly picked it up. I bought it a while ago. I found it at a secondhand bookstore, and it was a real good find. And she started reading it, and he's got a chapter on there, and it just talks about how males try to be too ambitious, and it just ends up just cooking them because they just – that what was it? I'm trying to find the word, but pretty much like sacrifice their emotions because they're trying to be so ambitious and they just want to keep climbing the ladder and get paid more and do more of this and do more of that and get more money and all this kind of stuff. But every time you do that, you're just putting your emotional value down and down and down and kind of ignoring how you actually feel about things. And he was on the money in like 1967 when he wrote this book.
Yeah, I mean, this that sounds like something, a conversation you and I were having Friday, like when I responded to that really bleak photo that you put up at 5 a.m. or whatever of you going out for a run, and I'd sent you a picture of me down at the docks walking by
a
blue
sky.
Day, and,
your day looked a lot better than mine.
But, you know, sometimes you need to have those days, and, like, sometimes people take the piss out of me at work because I don't work as much as some other people, but it's just about having balance in life, and that's how it works for my wife and I, that she's got a super busy job, and we've both had times in our lives where we've both had super busy jobs and the balance just isn't right. And so you know, like my day Friday was great. I felt like my Achilles was no good, so I didn't run that day, so I had a bit of a sleep in instead. I got up, I walked the dog, I had something nice for breakfast, I did some meditation, I went for a walk, I went and met my wife for lunch, which I never do, and, you know, just having that little bit of balance, did a bit of cooking, did a bit of baking, and, you know, I didn't make any money that day, but, you know, you're a lot richer for it, I think, and, you know, I think, yeah, we do get caught up with feeling like we need to have a certain role, but roles change all the time, and so, you know, I'm quite comfortable with where I'm at with that now, and I feel like the balance in my life is much better.
But you've been there and learned from it too, haven't you? Like, I remember when I was down Hobart that first day I met you, and you were telling me about, I think we walked into a place you opened up, like you're working in hospitality, yep. And you're like, I got this restaurant off the ground, and we had a real bad deadline about, we had to get it open by a certain date, and it was stressful, and you just, did you faint or something, like at a dinner, like, or something like that?
Yeah, pretty good memory. So I was setting up a new business for Tassal, the salmon farmers. So next, in conjunction with a restaurant that my mates were setting up. And so I was setting up a brand new shop for them. They'd never had a shop front before. And so we were setting up, it was like a cooking school and a retail shop. And it was in a really high profile area of Salamanca. And I'd been in hospitality. And so this was a totally new role for me, being a business manager for a stock listed company. And I had a crazy boss from Melbourne who was just sending me, you know, 30 emails a day and on the phone to me, and just so much pressure. And, you know, I got myself into a fairly bad place. That was just before Lindsay and I got engaged, I think. So it would have been about 2007, I think.
Yeah.
And so I was, yeah, working big hours, sort of 60-hour weeks, and working, you know, most days, and just getting really stressed out and really run down. And Lindsay and I hadn't had a day off together for quite a while, I don't think. I think we were about to celebrate her birthday, so, which has just happened about a week ago now. So we're probably talking 10 years down the track.
Mm.
So we're sitting at home. We were living in Hobart back then. We're sitting at home. I'm having a glass of champagne with Lindsay's mum. And then I said to her, I can't feel my legs. And she just thought, I joke a bit, as you know. I'm
good sense of humor. Now and then. Yeah.
Bit of a sense of humor. And she just said, oh, whatever. And then I said, I can't move my arms. And like, and she would, that, then she started freaking out. And then next thing I know, I woke up and I'm in an ambulance.
So, oh,
yeah. Yeah. And I ended up in hospital. And,
I was 28.
And what I hadn't realized, because I'd been in this cocoon of work and stress and everything, I'd lost heaps of weight. I'd lost probably 6 or 7 kilos. I looked at myself in the mirror the next day after I got out of hospital, and I didn't recognize who it was. I look like a skeleton. I mean, I'm pretty skinny now, but that's through through running
fit big skinny, miles, yeah. You know,
fit skinny, whereas then I was just skinny, and it got to, I couldn't walk to the corner shop for weeks.
Yeah, right.
I was that sick, and I had a week or so off, and then went back into work, and my boss was down from Melbourne, and he was like, oh, all right, so you've been a bit sick. And I'm like, yep. And he's like, oh. So that day he decided to do a performance evaluation on me.
Oh.
To see how the last 6 months had gone. And I just sat there and stared at him and just wrote notes and just took everything he wrote down and just didn't answer him. And then I sent him my resignation letter that night, and got it. And while I was doing that, while I was resigned, so I had a couple of weeks to give, I was sitting next door having a coffee at my mate's restaurant, and he introduced me to a mate of his who had a cafe, this great bloke called Steve, and they needed a guy to go and make coffee and help out. And he said, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll probably take a massive pay cut, but let's go try that. And so I went and did that and learned how to make coffee again and worked in a cafe. And Steve ended up being the MC at my wedding, and we're still in contact now and still mates now. And he just got me out of a big hole. And so, yeah, it's just about finding balance in life, isn't it?
Yeah, and that money versus time thing. I was running with a mate last night. He was up in Machuca. We just went for like an easy 30-minute run together, which was good. And we're kind of talking about how time – Like, you can't get it back. Like, once you use your time's done. Whereas money, you can always make more money, but you can never make more time. And that's, like, even when I dropped a day of work this year, people are like, oh, you know, you're realizing you're kind of throwing, you know, 300, 400 bucks away that you'd earn at the, in a day at work kind of thing over all your pay for that fortnight or for your week. But I love my Thursdays now. Like, that, I would pay to just do that on a Thursday and be on my terms and do what I do and put the podcast out for free and all those little things, because it just brings way more value to my life and I can make more money later on. And I don't know, like, money, if you're spending it on rubbish, you need more money. But if you're pretty smart with your money, you don't actually need that much of it.
No. Yeah, there's certainly a limit to, or not a limit, but there's certainly a point where you don't need any more. And if you do have that better balance, which I think we have in our lives now, we're much happier for it. Mm. And that brings me to something else that we chatted about off air when I was at physio with Matt Lancaster on Friday. He'd been on a phone hookup to Athletics Australia about injury prevention, and their studies that they're showing at the moment is that to prevent injuries, you need to be looking at things a lot more holistically. They're saying that the effect of stress and fatigue and energy levels, and they're finding a lot with elite and sub-elite. I'm not sure if Julian will allow me to use those categories or not, but when you're looking at those categories of male runners, that they're finding that a lot of them are going into energy deficit. Mm. That, not that they've got eating disorders or anything like that, but they're just not quite fueling correctly. And they feel like they're okay, but they're not getting enough energy in to be able to perform. And that's where they're breaking down. So they're saying that stress, energy levels and fatigue are such, and sleep, and getting good quality sleep and having good mindfulness techniques in place are so much more important than having the best program or hitting every single, you know, rep in your session and things like that, that you need to be looking at these other things. And that's where you're going to get the biggest gains.
Yeah, it's all interesting, isn't it? And you're like, I know I've got to have a blood test Monday, actually, just looking at my tracking my iron and testosterone, which I've had issues with in the past. But they can be, or not so much the iron, but the testosterone can be massively influenced by stress as well. And it's just kind of like when your brain's activated or under the pump, how it affects the other performance hormones in your body is just so interesting as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the word. Do you reckon social media's got a bit to do with that? Like distractions and stress.
Yeah.
And you think everyone's, I want to get you to your kind of thoughts on social media, because you do social media really well. But looking at people's social media, and it's a highlight reel. No one ever puts up their bad days. And that's what that guy, did you hear him on that Steve Magnus podcast? He said if he had one piece of advice for pro athletes, he was a college coach. He's like, just put up your crap days and put up the days where things don't go well. Because
that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted the professional athletes to do. He wanted your Galen Rupps and people like that to
Matt
put up
Central Week and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
put up a session that sucked, or put up a post saying that you really struggled today, or you just weren't up for it, or you couldn't get out of bed. Because he's saying that all these kids are aspiring to these guys and just see them as perfect, and they never struggle, and they're thinking, well, why am I struggling to get out of bed to do my session today? Or, you know, so that's what he was saying. Yeah, it was Mike Smith.
Yeah.
He's at Georgia Tech here. Yeah, man. If people haven't listened to him, you need to have a listen to that podcast. That's unbelievable. They're, what is it, On Coaching with Magnus and Marcus?
Yeah, just type it in, you'll get it pretty quick. It was one of the last episodes they put out.
Pretty amazing stuff, yeah.
And they know their stuff, like they know the science behind it as well. But it brings me back to that point about social media and, you know, sometimes you can stress yourself because you think your life's not as good as other people's, and you start looking at Instagram stories, you know, when you're having a beautiful sunny day and I'm getting up at 5 o'clock and I'm like, and the amount of stuff that's in your head, like I was talking to a mate about this the other night, like I've got friends on my Facebook who I went to year 12 with or uni with and haven't seen for 3 or 4 years, but I see their posts that they're in Bali, and that's somewhere stored in my brain now. Whereas if they were to walk past me in the street, I probably wouldn't stop and say g'day anymore, but yet I know that they're in Bali. It just kind of, I was just like, what are we doing with all this information in our brain? And it just must be a massive information overload, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I've got to catch myself sometimes where I, you know, you
just keep scrolling.
You just keep scrolling. You just get lost in it. That's why I try to
try to put it down when I can. And look, I don't upload stories every day, and it's not because I'm having a bad day or something's not right. Sometimes I just need some time out from it. I don't need to get involved with it. And I find those days where I'm not posting things, I don't tend to look at the apps as much either. Mm. So I don't tend to search out what everybody else is doing. I'm just happy with what I'm doing. And sometimes you just need some time out from it. But one of the great things I've put into place over the last couple of months is that Headspace app that you told me about a long time ago. And I remember you talking a while back that was something you wanted to do more of. And that's something I've done every day now for over 2 months. I haven't missed a single day since I've started. And that's just such an important part of my day now, to take 10 to 15 to 20 minutes out of my day where I'm not looking at anything. I'm not thinking about anything. It's just given me some really great techniques to deal with everyday stress and how to help me focus. And I'm doing some running stuff, something that helped with I'm sure it helped with my injury. Like, I was talking to Matt, the physio, about it yesterday. I know it wasn't everything that helped me, that like I did like a rehab pack. Yep. And it was about visualization techniques of trying to heal the area. And I said to him, it wasn't about the app. That wasn't the only thing that helped me, but it's a combo of thinking positively, using the Headspace app, good physio, getting some extra rest, eating well, doing the gym. Like, it all helps, I think. It all adds up.
Yeah, and I think that app is amazing. Like, I forked it. You're paying for it now, obviously.
Yeah, I've paid for it, yeah.
But it's like, works out to nothing. Like, it wouldn't even be $1 a day or whatever. It could be maybe $2 a day, something like that. But well,
not
worth it.
Yeah. No, I bought a year's pack. No,
it's so like $100 for a year
bucks.
Or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not yeah. even. Yeah.
Yeah, so cheap a day. And you choose. There's heaps of good like sports motivation packs in there. There's this little daily ones, and it's always got quotes of the day on there the minute you log into the app. And have you watched a TED talk of that guy?
No.
We watched it at our school staff meeting on, when was that? Wednesday. We had a girl from like the local health clinic come and do like a relaxation and meditation session with us, which was good because it, as I was saying before, it was a pretty rough week. And that was probably the highlight of my week, I reckon, just kind of sitting back and not doing much. And in the video, he pretty much says, you know, think back, if you don't meditate, think back to the last time in your life where you just did nothing for 10 minutes. So like not watching a movie, not on your phone, like, you know, not cleaning the car or not reading a book, like literally just nothing. And it's hard to do if you don't meditate, like just sit there and do absolutely nothing and focus on your breathing and just go through the motions of, you know, being mindful.
Yeah, well, it's a massive part of my day now. I try to do it every morning before I go for a run. I've got this great little spot probably where you and Nick sat when we were doing these recordings back in Hobart. I just look out at the water to start with and the trees and all that kind of stuff, and I just sort of get immersed in it, and it's just, I feel so much better afterwards. And I often do a little second one later in the day because I had those little moments, you know, where it just might be 2 or 3 minutes, but you'd be surprised at just switching off for 3 minutes and concentrating on your breathing for a couple of minutes, how much better it makes you feel. And I've been trying to get my wife to do it, not very successfully so far. She's a pretty busy lady and likes to be busy. So I've been trying to infiltrate a couple, you know, maybe at night time. There's some really good sleeping ones there as well, but I haven't quite got her into the habit of it yet.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. And in this TED talk, he also speaks about how we spend so much time on our body. Like, we go into so much research about what we eat, well, hopefully we do, like what we put into our body, what weights to lift, you know, how far to run hard, like break it down and look at heart rate data. We focus on our clothing and how we look for other people and how our hair styled, but our brain, like some people do absolutely nothing to develop their brain at all.
Yeah, I know, and it's so untapped as well, isn't it? You know, the potential of our brains as well, and so that's what's so great about these. There's so many packs in there that you can learn so many new tools, and I'm finding they're helping me in everyday life. I'm feeling more relaxed and more content and happy, and it's not a coincidence. I don't believe that. I believe in it too much now.
How good's that? And did you do that starter pack when you're like, is it take 10? You just do 10 days, 10 minutes a day for 10 days, and it's kind of like introduce you into it.
and those animations that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And how they talk about how your mind's pretty much like a car. Like, sorry, your thoughts are like cars going past your mind.
The traffic.
Yeah. And you're like, you choose which one of those cars you pretty much jump into and which thought you go with. And it's just, like, I'm always just thinking, is that just a thought? You can just let that go. You don't have to sit in that car and go driving with it. Like, you just, it's got some really good little analogies and cartoons that help you just relate to it in daily life all the time.
Yeah, and I have the alerts set up as well, so they flash up on my watch face every couple of hours, just a little thought. And sometimes that can be enough just to trigger your mind or something, just to take a moment to think about something else and just relax and take a breath. So, yeah, I find it's a really great app. If anybody feels like they need something else, I definitely recommend it. I think it's great value.
Yeah, for sure. I've got to get back into it. I'm patchy. Like, that was my big New Year's resolution, like, to meditate every day, and I was good up to about August, and then I just started losing the ball, got back on when I was over in Europe, and now I've just come back and hit the ground running a bit and probably need to just... Because 10 minutes, like, far out. It's not hard to find 10 minutes in a day.
I have a reminder set up on my calendar and on my phone, repeating every day.
I spend 30 minutes on Strava every day, I reckon, like, over, like, 31-minute blocks of unlocking the app, scrolling through, checking people's comments, like, yeah.
We've all got time, haven't we?
There's another good app. Talking about apps, I haven't downloaded it yet. Well, I downloaded and had a play, but then I swapped phones, but I haven't gotten on this new one. But Moments, have you heard of that app?
No.
It's the Minimalist Guys. I heard them talking about it, and it tracks how long you spend on each app. So it gives you a bit of a recount at the end of the day, saying, did you know you spent 37 minutes on Facebook, 25 on Strava, da da da. Like, and it gives you, you know, this total time, and it just, you know, how many times you just pull out your phone and just go, oh yeah, I'm just waiting in the line here, I'll just check this, or just got out of your car, so you just check this, and it's, yeah, it'd be crazy to actually document that over a day and a week and a month and spend how many minutes you lose doing that stuff when you could be meditating or doing push-ups or strength or whatever.
Yeah. Way too long, yeah.
Scary stuff. But do you have, like, restrictions around it yourself, like social media and that?
Do I restrict myself?
Yeah, like, do you...
I try not to look at it late at night.
Yeah.
I try to turn it off sometimes. I mean, my main ones, I mean, I've always got a lot of chats, group chats going on Messenger, and so I sort of see that differently because I find that's more like
text
interactions.
Message. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's healthy, you know, because I've got a lot of group guys on there that I think it's important that we chat and we're, you know, sometimes it might just be, or a lot of the time it's just taking the piss out of each other, but I think that's healthy. And so I don't count that as social media. It's just that the phone is different to what it used to be. It's not, I don't find that as like a social media application because it's just like,
Text messaging, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's the old text message kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I kind of, that's where I spend more of my time. Like, I reckon Messenger would be quite heavy. And then, yeah, I try to stay away from Instagram and Facebook at night time. And I might check in on Strava if somebody's tagged me in something or commented on something. But, yeah, I wish I wasn't on it as much as I am. So it's certainly something I need to work on as well.
I reckon going forward, I'm going to try to block it, like not block people, just block the time. Like, go, all right, this is, you got half an hour now and then you're not going to go on it for 35 minutes. Like, not so much the messenger stuff because that stuff kind of is instant going through. People actually need to get in contact with you that way and they're not going to, you know, ring you or text message you like they used to. So maybe not Messenger, but... you know, just open an Instagram and check. And I try not to follow too many people on Instagram just because I don't want too much stuff in my head. And, my partner Carly, she actually went through and blocked everyone on Facebook other than 5 people. So she was still friends with them, but it was just like, I only want to see 5 people's, statuses kind of thing, which, like, she cut me off. I was a bit pissed off. But, I thought there was, something in that, yeah. And there was a study. Have you read the book Tribes? I haven't read it yet, but I keep hearing people talking about it. It'd be the next book that I read. They talk about how chimps only live in Sebastian Junga. Rich Roll spoken about it a couple of times, and Joe Rogan spoken about it a couple of times. But they talk about how chimps I only live in packs of like 65. This is paraphrasing, don't quote me on this stuff. But they live in packs of 65, and then once they get over 65, they make a new tribe, just because they don't want to have, that can't survive their tribe if it gets too big.
No.
And that interaction between too many people. Yeah, it's really kind of interesting and hearing that. So I try to limit my reason. I think I follow 65 people on Instagram just because I'm like, okay, I can't have that much information coming at me. Otherwise, it's going to, I don't know. I just don't know where that goes and why I need it in my brain. So maybe I should do that on Facebook as well.
Probably not a bad idea. Look, one of the other steps that I took was like with my watch that I wear, my Garmin is a smartwatch, and so you get alerts like all the time. I've turned that off now. So,
mate, can you remember that podcast we first did? Your watch is vibrating every like 2 minutes.
Yeah. So that happens still, but now I have it on silent, so I don't, unless I'm looking at the watch at the exact moment that it comes in, I don't see it. And I find that's helped a bit by not trying to feel like I need to reach for my phone every time it, you know, a message comes through or a notification comes through. So I think that's helped. That's been a good step to try to limit my my social media.
Well, even today, like when I messaged you about, you know, we'll go for 8 p.m. kind of thing, we went down the street and I just left the phone at home. I'm just like, you know, no one's going to need me for the next 3 hours. We're kind of out for 3 hours, and just because I knew I would have pulled it out and just checked if it vibrated, or just taken an Instagram story of where we were sitting down the river, which I didn't really need to. And you kind of go to, you start thinking, why am I doing this? Like, what's your reason why you're putting this video up? Is it to make yourself feel better or make other people feel less? Or who are you trying to impress? It's kind of a, I don't know, deep and kind of meaningful conversation you have with yourself.
Yeah, look, I go through that as well, Brady. I'm like, when I go for these like ride homes, like I've posted a couple of videos of my ride home, and you know, and I've been riding along on other days and it's been beautiful and I'm near the water and I'm thinking, oh, I should get my phone out and maybe show some people that this is what I'm doing. It's like, I don't need to share that, to be honest, you know. Yeah. I'll just leave my phone in my backpack, because in order to get that shot, I'm going to have to stop, get my backpack off, get my phone out, ride illegally with a phone on.
You know, just to show 3 minutes,
just to show somebody a 10-second video of where I live and what I'm doing, whereas I know where I live and I know what it looks like and how good it makes me feel, and it's like, well, I'll just keep that for myself.
Mm. I've been that since we launched like Inside Running this week as well. We've just had a couple of emails come in about, you know, suggestions, maybe you should do this, or, you know, little kind of bits of constructive criticism, I'll call them, like, and they're good, and it's really good that we've got that probably that ownership and that relationship with our audience, that they feel that they can approach us and suggest things for the show. I think that listener engagement's really good, but we often, and the boys, and it's good with this new podcast because it's not just me. So, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to, because we'd spoken about doing it on Tell Me Your Tales before we launched Road to Berlin. Remember I hit your message on like, there might be something in like just talk and running content and just banter, and then Road to Berlin, and then that led to this. And but we kind of, taking criticisms really, even when it's constructive, it's really interesting how your brain kind of deals with it, and how, you know, even the ratings on Tell Me Your Tales, we got like, I got 55 5-star reviews, 1 4-star, but then I've got 1 2-star, and I remember checking that and I was just so angry because they didn't leave a comment, so they just went 2-star, submit that. So I'm like, look, I'm more than happy. If you tell me what I'm doing wrong, why you gave me a 2-star, I would be, you know, I'd be okay with that. But because they didn't, I was so annoyed. And here I am, like, just scrolling through 55 amazing comments from amazing people kind of saying how much this podcast means to them. But here I am just dwelling on this one comment because it's negative. And, yeah, it's funny how the brain just goes straight to that negative and just, like, I'm still, it was like 2 weeks ago and I'm still talking about it now. Yeah, it's a strange little thing, the way social media can just tick you off like that.
So what are you going to do about it?
No, I don't know. I was thinking about screenshotting it and putting it on like the Facebook page, saying like, or like getting on my big high horse about, you know, if you like the show, you know, give me some more 5s. Look at this guy, he's giving me a 2. I don't mind getting 2s as long as you give me some, feedback and let me know why it was a two. And because I just know, like,
is it about the lack of feedback or is it the fact that you got a 2-star? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, well, that's back to it. I'm like, I was talking to Carly. I'm just like, why am I even checking this stuff? Like, it's good when it's good, but really,
it doesn't change anything.
It doesn't. Like, I'm still going to do the show the same way. Like, someone might give me a hard time going, oh, you got Andy Allison on again. You had Brad on last week. You had Julian the week before. Maybe you should get some new guest kind of things. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, it's kind of my show. And, you know, I hope it brings value to people's life, but it's for the people, not so much for one or two individuals out there. So now, even with that, I'm like, because I'd get on my reviews. Like, sometimes I'd get up in the toilet. Like, go to the toilet before a run at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be like, right, I just need to get on the phone roll for 5 minutes before I get out the door. And I'd open my phone and check if I've had any new reviews in the last, like, 12 hours. And I'm just like, this is not healthy getting on this stuff. So now I think I'm just going to go, look, every Sunday night or whatever, I'll spend 2 minutes checking the reviews rather than just doing it patchy across the week.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, and it's good. And I probably think I wear my heart more on my sleeve with the Tell Me Your Tales one, and it's good with the inside running one. So if someone bags us out, they're kind of bagging three of us out, not just me on this other one. So it's
You can spread the load. So
send that to Joy.
Talking about 2-star, so that interesting conversation that I had with my barber on Wednesday, right? Mm. So we're talking about this new hair salon that my wife's gone to, and somebody had rated, like, I had all these 5-star reviews on the hairdresser's Facebook site. And there was a 2-star review. Mm. And, like, all of them were 5 stars except for this 2-star. And there was a comment with it, and it was this there was this old duck saying, she would have been about 70, saying, oh, the ladies were absolutely lovely. I had such a lovely time, and the price was great. I'll definitely be back. 2 stars.
That's just a stitch up, yeah.
No, she just got it wrong.
She's got it wrong. Yeah.
Just hit the wrong number.
When that happens, yeah.
And, like, the hairdresser commented back, just saying, you know, so happy that you came along and enjoyed your experience, and didn't even bother pulling her up on the fact that you ripped me off 3 stars and you brought my overall review down. So it's just how you deal with it, isn't it?
It is. And what I've learned as well, like, because I think I'm a bit of an introvert more than, like, although you're kind of on a podcast and you're banging on and sending it out to a couple thousand people every week, I tend to be a bit more of a, you know, guy in routine, and I kind of don't get social anxiety or anything, but I kind of like being in my comfort zone and being around people I know, and even, like, approaching new guests. Like, I get nervous, like, emailing someone I've never met before saying, will they come on the show? That's why I'd rather talk to I'm much more comfortable talking, not that I'd rather talk to them, but, yeah, much more chilled out talking to guys like you and Brad and Julian each week. But it's funny, I had to catch myself and just not ignore other people's opinions, but just have about 5 people that really their opinions are that inner circle. And then, so if those 5 people, and you're one of them, because I message you all the time, ask for your feedback on stuff. If those 5 people are telling me the same thing, that's when you address it, not the one guy who lives in, you know, I don't know, Ireland, and emails you saying that you talk for too long on the introductions before you introduce the guest. Like, you know, those kind of things. And I had to really check myself and just be, okay, if Andy's telling me that, then I make a change. Or if Benny's telling me that, or if Carly's telling me that, that's when you start making a change, not off the one person you've never met before who might have listened to, you know, 3 shows out of, you know, 60. So it's it's an interesting.
Yeah, you've got to have filters up, and you know you've got to have boundaries as well, I guess, don't you?
Yeah.
You can't be responding to everybody, and you can't be pleasing everybody. As it is, I mean, you're pleasing a lot, and if people don't like it, then they won't keep listening, I guess. So.
And that's the thing with podcasts, interesting because they're free. Like, it's like Julian and I had this conversation last night about trying to plan a bit more for inside running and what direction and the gender kind of balance. That's one thing we're really playing with at the moment. And I've spoken about in the past, trying to get way more female guests on just to do that gender balance. But then you're like, well, we're not working for Athletics Australia here, and it's probably, we're doing this off our own backs, 3 guys who are working, kind of putting a podcast together. Is it our responsibility to be providing a level playing field of male, female guests? And do we need to rotate it every single week? Or is that, you know, someone, if Athletics Australia are providing a podcast, maybe that's where they go, look, we need to have this balance there. But how important is that for us to also do?
I guess you're reaching out to people that you have had connections with, and you've had more connections with
with guys, I guess.
Cause yeah, you, I'm scared, girls.
Yeah. And you race against guys.
Yeah. And you have, I think the banter kind of thing in our podcast is something pretty genuine, yep. And those jokes, yep. And you can kind of have those conversations where you're having a bit of a punt at each other, and then you got to race each other and kind of finish it on the road somewhere. So, yeah, that's new. And it's kind of difficult to have genuine conversations with people that you may have never met before or don't have that rapport or haven't been in a race with 10 times before as well. So, yeah, we almost need a female version of our show to come out and cover the girls. Not that I don't think they're all amazing, especially Australian marathoners at the moment. They're smashing everything out of the park.
Oh, you're gonna have a catch-up with Viv and Bree?
Yeah, wow, we're working on that. A couple of people have asked me about that. I've got to get that sorted. Viv's actually down in Melbourne this week. You know how she's? Did you know she's really into like fashions on the field and stuff?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's like won a big one before, like. You
know, oh, that's right. Yeah, like I remember her and Brad got a trip somewhere, didn't they?
Yeah, they went to Thailand or something, and yeah, she's won some real big ones. So she was it Derby Day today?
Yeah, I think so.
But I think she didn't, yeah, she wasn't, oh, Brad said she wasn't happy, didn't, maybe I shouldn't say that, but yeah, she didn't make it past the second round. Might have to, no, Viv would be happy hearing that. Didn't make it past the second round, but then she's in Melbourne all week, so I think she'll go again on Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and then... Is it Oaks Day? I don't know. I don't know enough about the races to
yeah, I'm not a big race fan, so I don't really get into it.
I did send a picture. Oh, we've got the Echuca races up here on Tuesday, so I did get in my suit today and send a picture to Brad just asking if he could get some advice from Viv for me. So it's always good to look slick at the races.
Have you got a pocket square? That's your main thing.
Yes, I've got a pocket square. I bought this suit over in Madrid, actually. So, and my hat. I don't know if I'll wear the hat yet, but yeah, I brought that. And,
send me a picture of it. I'll let you know.
Yeah, well, Brad was complaining the lighting was no good, so I need to take another one. That's good. We have like a Chuka races on Melbourne Cup Day, and the Moama Bowling Club has like this marquee and stuff, and it's like a live band in there, and they give you like bets when you walk in, and like
you've got the day off. The schools are closed.
Yeah, but I've got to go to work the next day. It's dangerous. Yeah. It's all like free drinks and free food, and they give you a present when you leave and drive you home and stuff. You feel like this real big VIP just in like at the country races. That's real cool. So that should be good. Anyway, mate, this is probably where we cut it when we start talking about Echuca races and dressing up in suits and comparing outfits for the day. Thanks for the chat again. I think we nailed. I've got a few notes here, but I think we kind of got through it all. Hey, give the listeners something to go home with. What one podcast to listen to or one book to read? We've kind of spoken about the Blue Zones. Trying to, just give them one thing. What do you reckon?
Well, I think that if they're into running, they've got to get into that Magnus and Marcus on coaching, and especially the interview with Mike Smith. That guy is an absolute guru. And one thing that he takes out that I took from that conversation was, for any young coaches out there or people who have groups or are looking at going down that track, he uses social media in a way that he gets them all to write in that journal. Did you
Google
remember
Docs,
you talk?
Yeah.
Google Docs. So
do you use Google Docs?
No, I don't.
We use it for the Inside Running podcast. It's good. It's just like a live document. And you just get on there and kind of chat. But you know how like Facebook Messenger just ends up like a million things up and you got to scroll up? This is all just live on a Microsoft Word kind of document.
All right. So what he was doing was he was finding that a lot of his kids, like maybe face-to-face, weren't able to tell him what's going on in their lives. But what he would have this after every session, they would send back an online feedback form of how they were, and that's where he was finding he was getting the best responses out of these guys. They were able to be more honest, because I guess it's more what the younger generation are used to, that's how they're used to communicating, and so they were able to open up, and he was able to learn so much more about them as people and athletes and deal with any issues or depression or anything that they had going on. He was able to deal with it. So yeah, and they've got a book. I've only got the sample so far, called Peak Performance. So if they want to look at a book, have you read Peak Performance yet?
I haven't. Josh Harris read it when he was over in London, and someone else read it as well. Oh, Zach Newman, another mate in Melbourne. He also read it. So
that's Steve Magnus. That's like the scientist of the group. And there's also Jonathan Marcus, who's more like the philosopher of the two coaches. But yeah, they are so passionate and so knowledgeable. And yeah, I'd highly recommend
If they're looking for another one, they go for about an hour or so. But yeah, full of some really amazing content.
What other books you been reading? What do you got on the bedside table at the moment?
I've just finished.
You just discovered the library not so long ago, haven't you? Got the library.
Yeah,
card.
Yeah, got my first library card for about 20 years.
How good is it? You're just ordering books from all over the state.
So good. Yeah, I've got heaps. What else did I read? Oh, the Chimp Paradox that you got me onto.
Did you like that?
Yeah, really interesting. Yeah, I've had a look at him on a few YouTube videos as well. It's quite interesting. He was working with some pretty successful athletes and got them to do some pretty cool stuff. So I think there's something to it.
It's been a bit quiet the last couple of years. I haven't heard much of him for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. The other one I've just finished is Seven Types of Ambiguity by an Aussie writer, Elliot Perlman. I've read it about 3 or 4 times, but it's probably the best book I've ever read. And so it's seven. It's all the one story, and there's pretty much seven chapters, seven main chapters. So, written from the perspective of seven different people, and the ambiguity around what's happened in all their lives. It's really interesting, and it's what I always find fascinating with a really good book is I always, nearly always, forget how the last chapter goes. And I found that again. I finished it last night, and I was just like, I totally didn't remember that again. And so I think that's a sign of a really good book. But yeah, I've got a couple of other ones on the go. One called The Vegetarian, which I've found really, really hard to get into at the moment. Actually, I think it's a Japanese book, and it's really confronting. It's a novel. Like, it's not a nonfiction book or anything like that. But it's I'm finding it really hard to get through at night time at the moment. I think it might be another holiday book.
Yeah. I just got delivered this week Bill Rogers and Frank Shorter's book. After Julian spoke about those on his and Sapiens. You read Sapiens? A Brief History of Mankind.
I might write that one down too.
I haven't this would be summer holidays for me. And George Orwell, 1984, that classic. You read that?
I used to read that as a young kid, and used to give me nightmares. Like, I read, because I was a pretty vociferous reader when I was younger, so I would have been about 10 or 12 when I read that for the first time, and it gave me some serious nightmares.
Yeah, right. It just came, like, it's one of those things that I think I watched that Icarus documentary on the Russians. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Icarus, yeah.
Yeah, geez, that's pretty full on that. Makes you wonder about a lot of things. And they kind of base the whole documentary kind of on that theme. And then I'd never heard of it before. Pretty naive, never heard hearing about this classic book. And then I reckon every bookshop I went to an airport in Europe, it was just like front and center. And then I was just like, okay. And then I went to Melbourne with Benny, and Benny's like, oh, have you read this book? I've been reading it lately, and pulled it out. And I was like, oh, this book just keeps coming into my life, so I've just got to buy it and just have a crack at it.
Oh, no, it's excellent. Mm. Yeah.
Has it kind of like a bit of a revive, though? Like, sure, didn't it come out years ago?
Yeah, but didn't...
Obviously, you read it when you were 12. It's been around for...
Yeah, it's been out for a long, long time. Yeah, I don't know.
54.
Yeah, there you go.
Why is it...
I'm not that old.
Yeah. Why are they all selling it at bookshops and stuff all of a sudden?
Well, I guess it's relative. Yeah. I guess it's relative
Isn't it
to how
like Big Brother kind of like...
Yeah, it's relative
himself?
To how life is going now.
He's picked the future.
Oh, well, they always thought that, yeah.
Mm. Righto, mate. Thanks for your time. Good work.
A pleasure.
We'll get you on again. It's always good. I love these kind of shows where you just, I want to keep going. Well, I've actually got a new microphone this week, so I want to do more like face-to-face ones, and I want to crack the first two-hour show. That's my goal, just to...
I need to get over a couple of beers.
Yeah. Come up. You got to come over. We want to do like a training camp or something. We're talking to Julian about the other day. So, yeah, just watch this space. Be good to get us all in one spot.
What's the long run tomorrow?
In between probably 1:50 and 2 hours. So it's been an interesting week, kind of first full week back. We're actually doing things different. Now, every build-up I've had after the spring marathons in the past, I've ended up injured and missed the autumn marathon. So I pulled out of Lake Biwa the last 2 years after entering. Never had booked flights and stuff because I just was a bit... I almost knew I was never going to run early out because I just got into things too soon. And then I'd get to December and I ran Steigen after Melbourne, which was a good turnaround, and ran like 30:25. And then I thought, oh, that's good signs, like off the back of Steigen. Took Julian down that day pretty easy. Actually, he was prying for 10K, didn't run Melbourne Marathon, and smashed him, so that was good to get a win over him. hopefully the same thing can happen this year. But we've just taken it. So instead of doing full sessions, we're building the sessions. So in the past, I might have done like a monofartlek or a quarters or, you know, like a 3x3K. And you know when you're just not ready and the last quarter of those sessions are just terrible and you just stay out there and you just get it done because it kind of gives you a yardstick to improve on the weeks later. And then the kind of progression comes slowly, whereas this time around we've gone with, like my quarter session on Thursday was only half the quarters, but I hit 68s and floated in 39 for the 200. So it was really good doing four quality 400s with a short float recovery. And you come off that having confidence rather than blowing to pieces for the last three and running 75s and floating in 45. So, yeah, and we're in no rush. Like, I think I've got 7 weeks till Steigen, maybe 7 weeks today. If I can get that session from 4 to 5 next week and then 7 in 3 weeks' time, and, yeah, if I can do that quarter session and, you know, break 14:20 kind of for the whole session, I know I'm in good 5K shape, and hopefully that translates. And just listen to the heart rate and just going slow. I reckon there's a bit in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
What do you got tomorrow?
28K.
28?
Yeah.
That'd be 2 hours.
Yeah, we're cramming. Just trying to build a really good base.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, yeah, Point Pinnacle will come around too quick for me to be competitive, but trying to get a really good base in and just time on feet. Like, it'll be really cruisy. It'll be with the group of boys for about 20Ks, 24Ks, and the last little bit solo, but it'll be good. It'll be good banter. It'll be over the hills and some trails, and it'll be done pretty gentle. So it'll be a nice couple of hours.
You got to go on heart rate and stuff, or just go on feel?
Just on feel. It'll be pretty slow. It'll be pretty gentle. It'll be good. We're all pretty in sync with each other. We all know how to get it done now, so it'll be good. It'll be good fun. Look forward to it.
Knocking it over early. Be fresh in the morning.
7:30. Yeah, start.
We're going out 7:30 as well, which should be good. Good time to go 7:30. Don't have to get up that early, and you're still home at kind of 9:30.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be good. Looking forward to it.
All right, mate. Thanks for the chat again. Where can people follow you on Instagram? See, we've just spoken about like how we shouldn't have too many followers and like be obsessed with it, but yeah, give us your handles if people want to keep in touch with you.
Strava, well, I'm nearly up to 1,000 on Instagram now. I've picked up a few this week after the big moose finally followed me back this week after, geez, I don't know how long I've been following that guy for, but yeah, I'm back on with him.
I don't follow him on Instagram, but he doesn't do much.
He put up some shocking shoes the other day, which he was pretty proud of, but yeah, we had a bit of a Instagram fight about that. The Edge Runner, all one word, is me. That's me on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I don't do anything on there. I just sort of follow that for news. And, yeah, Andy Allison on Facebook if they want to hit me up or have a chat on Messenger, which a few people do, which is really good. I'm always happy to answer any questions about nutrition or plant-based life and things like that. So, yeah, that'd be good.
Strava? Did you mention Strava?
Yeah, I'm on Strava, yeah.
Yeah, you're good on Strava.
Andy Allison, I think. I think it's just, yeah, standard look up for me there in Hobart.
Oh, those shoes are ugly. I'm just on his Instagram now. Are they Nikes?
Yeah, they're hideous.
What are they, like Nike casual shoes?
I reckons, if you have a look at the comments there, he reckons I'm just not up with the latest fashions or something like that, but yeah.
When the girlfriend buys a present and nails it, yeah.
He's changed a bit, hasn't he?
He has. He's only got 390 followers, but he gets like 100 likes. He's going pretty good ratios here.
Cash for a comment, I think.
Yeah, he must be doing something dodgy.
Got the paid bots onto it, I reckon.
10 years of grind all made worthwhile with a very special September morning in Berlin.
I haven't seen that.
At the end, there's a picture of him like grinding out the last like 50 metres of Berlin. It's a good picture, actually. He looks good.
I've not seen that. I might go give that a like.
9 hours ago. Yeah.
Oh, it's only a fresh one. As we're talking about how we should be off social media, and now it's gone. Oh, look at him.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah,
a lot of gold on his kit, hasn't he?
A lot of gold. Can't bag him out, though. He had a good run that day. Had a good run.
His hair's been real good, though.
Yeah, it's good. What about the leg tat? I haven't seen much of that leg tat before.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I must ask him what that's all about. Right, this is not good for the listeners, us talking about a picture. See ya, mate. Good luck with the long run.
See the Benny Walker music. See ya.
Yeah, hit it now. Bye. See ya.
Catch ya.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.